Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodo, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm local historist P.L. Leonard.
Tristan, put some chocolate in his mouth.
Eating chocolate. I'm world traveler Halifax Warburton.
I'm Steve Roscoe. I don't travel, or I'm not a history guy, or I'm just me.
And this is Nicole Jeffrey.
I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero.
I'm Tristan Cooper.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
Hell, we got everybody.
Isn't one of you going to accept the title of local folklorist?
No,
actually, I said P.L. Leonard. I'd actually be P.M. Leonard. I don't even know my own name tonight.
your parents would name you Peter Leonard.
Yeah. And my confirmation name is Michael, so it's Peter Michael Leonard.
Leonard.
Well, we got a lot on the shingle tonight, so if you're out there and you're one of our regulars who actually listen to us, this show is dedicated to you. Why don't you call in and let us know your name and your interests in the paranoia? The toll-free number is 1-888-429-5471. If you're a single Canadian woman, Mike is looking for a date this weekend. 530-413-9537.
Did you specify Canadian?
Yes.
Good.
If you weren't having your own sidebar conversation, you would have heard that. Mike likes psychics, and there's one specific from Ohio. We won't mention her name. If you're listening, please call him. 1-888-429-5407.
That's not like Pete. That's like a religious experience.
But if she's psychic, doesn't that mean she already knows what happened?
Valid point.
Mm.
Oof. Those dreams are going to make things awkward.
So would lovemaking, wouldn't it, with a psychic? They already know how it ends.
Very disappointing for her, I guess. It's like high school homework. Real fast and all wrong.
If you'd like to find out how disappointing, you can call at 1-888-429-5471. Again, that's Michael.
So we actually had some good topics.
Can we move on to something?
We had some good topics and conversations last week. We had some callers. It was nice. To everybody who's listening, thank you for listening. We want to talk to you, so if you have a topic or anything, call us. Let us know that you are there.
Mike, if you're out there, we love you, man.
Yes.
Well, we have some stuff this week. This will be the first year in a couple years we haven't been there, but Phenomenology kicks off in New York, Pennsylvania this weekend.
Sorry.
That is the sound of Skype working on the chain.
Yeah.
Quite so, bad. Tristan, what do we got going on in the world of space? Didn't they just land something on a comet?
No. They landed Philae last year. It landed inverted. The battery died. And now it's come back to life.
It came back to life?
Yeah.
Oh. The battery.
It got close to the sun.
Whoa.
Oh, like so solar power battery.
Yep.
JJ just walked by.
Dynamite!
If you could only see what goes on through the window of Rip.
Window of Rip.
Last radio show, most of you missed it. The gentleman who went headfirst into the metal pole outside while Mike was smoking, that was priceless.
I had a first-hand account of that. Priceless.
But to show you how we look out for DePaulo here, the well-known DJ of Rome, New York, we offered to drag the body into the street so it wouldn't be on his property. Even the cops thought that to be funny. Law enforcement, excuse me.
More politically correct to say that.
So it recharged itself on the comet, so we didn't have an Armageddon situation.
No, it's a very small comet.
Somebody just won something on eBay.
Indeed, I did.
If you won something on eBay, 1-888-429-5471.
Oh, you got another one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one. That's
Okay. Well, this one didn't fit.
That's actually pretty fascinating that we landed a camera on a comet, actually.
Oh, it's more than just a camera.
Now, is it taking pictures of the comet, or is it just riding?
Well, it's on its side, so it had been intended to take samples, but so it landed on its side. They're in process.
Also, it's got like a drill and every like sample together.
Yeah, it's up against a wall, and it has to, they have to try to get the sample instrument. They're looking for hydrocarbons and water ice.
So did you read? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
But the camera, was it meant to take pictures of the comet, or if it landed where it should have?
So there's a camera on the lander, and then there's a camera on the satellite orbiting the comet, and they're
so we got a satellite following
the satellite. The satellite actually deposited the lander on the comet. The satellite has been taking beautiful pictures. They're out on NASA.gov, and it's been taking them since last year. There's really great pictures out there. The lander, whether or not the camera actually works on that.
So they'll
forego taking close-up pictures of it if they can get sampling and, look for possible life off world.
That's pretty fascinating.
Did you read about the man-made microbes that they are researching that they want to send to comets that will help to degrade the comets into dust, while at the same time they could reharvest the microbes, send them back to Earth, and use them as a renewable energy source? Incinerate the microbes. There's something on these comets, gases or whatever.
Most comets are made with large amounts of water ice.
So these microbes are man-made things that they want to send in vast quantities to comets that are dangerous to us, I guess. So in the process, it will break down the comet, and somehow we send these microbes back to Earth and use them as a renewable power source.
Okay.
There's a philosophical debate because they're microbes. So are they alive, and are they able to be incinerated freely? Do they give consent for that? It's a very interesting.
Will they eventually rise up against their oppressors?
Exactly.
Yes. I haven't heard anything about that. I suspect that's probably slightly far-fetched, just because of the nature. One, the temperature difference. Two, they'll be exposed to extreme radiation space that is very good at killing any type of life. There's a host of other things. If they got loose on the planet, what would they do to our own water?
Yes.
What would they do in our bodies?
Time to jack.
All I could tell you is if they want to sink a hole down my mine shaft, I got enough natural gas in there to power New York for 15 years. Just keep the baked beans a-coming. So, Steve, I'm reading here about the mystery of the Great Wall of Sandwich in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah?
I think we need to go investigate this. It's a mile-long wall
of sandwich.
It appears to be constructed of carved granite.
It became a tourist attraction built in 1941.
What's the mystery?
Nobody knows.
That's
where you gotta go. So if anybody out there knows about the Great Wall of Sandwich. I wonder if it's turkey, and if not, we can't eat it.
Turkey, lettuce, and tomatoes. And
Steve and I are in the process of opening a new restaurant. It's going to be called Panky's Place, where we're going to serve, and that's copywritten and trademarked, where we're only going to have pancreas-friendly food.
I like that.
Pretty much
Panky's Place.
Lettuce and any vegetable.
It'll be a big hit with the rabbits.
Our 75-item salad bar will be the highlight.
The big selling point, yes.
If you're good to your pancreas, he'll be good to you. If not, he'll try to digest you and eat yourself like Pizza the Hut and Spaceballs.
Yep.
And it's not a good feeling.
Invocation of Pizza the Hut.
So I am happy, very happy to announce to all of you that Mercury is no longer in retrograde, so now we can move on with our lives.
It's still a planet, though, right?
Hopefully. Unless Neil deGrasse Tyson got to it.
After the whole Pluto thing, I'm always skeptical. I'm always iffy when it comes to planets. Pluto will always be a planet to me.
That's where I agree with Sheldon Cooper. I rather fancied Pluto than little cold dog hen.
We have another probe.
Landing
Pluto
next year, 5 years.
Next month.
Next month.
The beginning of August.
I thought we were farther up than that. Wow.
Yeah. It's a flyby. So it's going to go in orbit. It's going to take a picture of Pluto and several moons.
So now I'm going to wow you with a question for all of you, which is a good talking start point.
Finally.
We have the universe.
Space.
Then we have the box with alternating gray and greenish light, which is holding back the infinite darkness of space.
What's he talking about?
What's the question?
What's holding back the infinite darkness? What is that box?
Jesus.
Really?
Wait, well, what? Okay, go back to the beginning. There's space.
There's
the final
everything.
Right.
Then there's a box.
That everything's
that
in.
That has alternating green and black lines.
Is everything in it?
And it's holding back darkness, which is behind it, which is trying to suck up.
Where did we get the alternating green and black lines?
Do you have evidence of this large box?
Where's
the
box?
It was posed to me as a question by someone seriously.
But it's lacking details that make it very hard. So is the box in space, or is space in the box?
Well, to that person, I would ask if you could provide some kind of example, some kind of link.
It was revealed to him by the universe.
Well, it's obviously Pandora's box.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Which is rotating also a lesbian bar in Toronto.
The rotating light was described as butterfly wings.
And the Aerosmith song.
There's really nothing on the internet to talk about. There's the...
So it's sort of a way, because I'm getting this. It's making sense to me now.
Where's the Reverend Bonaduce when we need him?
So if the green and blue?
No, green and black. We're not talking about the dress here, that magical dress.
Oh, yeah, that beautiful dress.
Yes.
I look good in that dress.
I bet you do.
You do.
How do you see the black line if it's in space?
The universe. Provided.
The black line?
Yes.
But they're shaped like a butterfly's wing, and they're holding space. They're holding nothing back?
Correct.
Yes. So what's the question?
What's in the box?
What box?
Well, nothing.
The box with the light holding back the darkness.
Well, the light is in the box.
But what is the light?
It's light. It's photons.
It's mankind's faith that there's something out there besides what we can perceive.
If anybody out there knows what's in the box, 1-888-429-5471.
Please, somebody.
What is that sound?
It's me trying to connect to the internet repeatedly and failing.
What, the blooping noise?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear blooping.
I opened my computer.
I don't see any instant messages from anyone. So this Thursday, we'll be kicking off the Cup of Paranormal with Rip. Shops at the finish line.
The shops.
Please join us for coffee, tea, or crumpets.
Shoes. They sell shoes.
Now you
shoes.
Now Pete tells me you've had the coffee there.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's Utica Brews, so it's pretty much the Utica Roasting Company coffee. That's me down the street.
Yeah, I know where that is. He told me where the shops were, exactly where the shops was this morning, and I realized that I had been in there a couple of years ago. I was in their furniture section upstairs.
Yeah, it's a hodgepodge of different stores. It's kind of like, you know, let's start a furniture store. Okay, go over there. You know, let's sell toys. Okay, you go over there. Let's open a restaurant. Okay, you go over there.
It's like a flea market. It was an eclectic mix. It reminded me very much of the hardware store in Old Forge, except for
yes,
that doesn't have a restaurant.
Yes, there is quite a resemblance to it, but the building it's pretty cool inside of it, you know, and they've got a little bit of everything, and then they decided to do a restaurant. The restaurant's still fairly new, about maybe a year or so. They serve the Utica coffee, which you can pretty much go down the street and bring the roasting thing itself and get it.
Brewed with fresh milk.
Yeah, fresh milk. But you know what? They're going for that little like coffee shop niche where they're having acoustic acts come and play music.
Can I bring my poetry?
Yeah, you can do poetry. Yeah, absolutely. I'm being serious, too. Poetry. And we thought, what a great idea to come in and just, you know, sit down and talk about the paranormal openly with people, not like a rehearsed presentation with an LCD projector and a screen and all that kind of stuff, just kind of more like, you know, let's sit down and let's basically pass a piece of equipment around, people play with it, ask questions, show them some evidence, you know, tell them how, you know, Rip was informed what we do and listen to their stories.
I think it's a good idea.
It's just an open forum. It's
more
just kind
of a personal connection.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, like, if you go to a comic book store, there's people hanging out there just in the comic books. They're just here to hang out because they're into that kind of thing. Well, this is kind of the same thing with the paranormal, except, you know, we got food and coffee. And you don't, I mean, really have to buy anything other than, you know, hopefully sandwiches or coffee to support them, so.
I did have their muffalata sandwich, which was pretty good. I could never eat that again because my pancreas tried to eat me. But if you can eat normal food like human beings can, their muffalata was really good.
Yeah, I had breakfast there. The food's pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, the eggs and the bacon were good. The toast is good. I mean,
a lot of muffalata.
Plus, they have, like, they have the Zaffis, which is a hamburger. So they're starting to name their dishes. The paranormal thing, which is not new, because I also heard if you go up the street, right up 12, there's the sports bar right there. What's the name of it?
Tiny's?
Nope. It's they do clam bakes and everything.
Oh, that's 12 North.
13 Pine? Yeah, 12 North. That's
12 North has got a menu of items on there that's named after the Bigfoot, Finding Bigfoot TV show.
Oh, that's cool.
Really?
So they have the Bobo, which is a burger. They have a bunch of other things.
The
Bigfoot.
Were the Finding Bigfoot people in there? Or?
No, no, they're just fans of the show. The guy owns it. Him and his kids watch it. So they decided to. They went there.
Surprisingly, the Bobo works for any kind of sandwich.
Did not find Bigfoot at 12 North.
No, he wasn't there. But his cheeseburger is there. His
cheeseburger is there. Bigfoot's cheeseburger.
Absolutely. So, yeah, people jumping in, going with the theme of things, you know? What works out for them.
Cool.
It's been a while since we talked about Biggie.
Yeah,
is there anything new on that front?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, you look at the greater good of things. You go to YouTube and you watch all this stuff, and then there's a lot of hokey stuff on Bigfoot. You know, and that's the problem. But if you see through that and you really read some of the books and the journals by some people who are actual scientists working in, like, the Idaho State University and all these different institutes, and then they dissect, like, the Patterson-Gilman film and things like that, they really have a lot of good facts to support something that's actually a North American great ape. I mean, they're in the Sasquatch Bigfoot persona, but they're saying that there's an environment to support it, there's food to support it, and essentially that film, the Patterson-Gimlin film, which has been basically deemed to be a guy in a costume, actually when they looked at it, they tried to get as much high-def view out of it and analyze it. They said that there's certain ways that the legs move and walk, where you can see the muscles flex, and certain parts of that in 19, what is it, 50 or 63 60, or something? This is made that no one would have that kind of creativity run out to build something like that. It was way above ahead of their time.
And they say it'd be hard to do today.
There's a herniated thigh. Yeah. There's a
ruptured a tendon, I think.
Yep,
too.
Things like that. Yep. So there's certain things, and even they basically were able to measure the steps and everything, and they had a guy that was like almost 7 foot tall trying to keep up the pace, and even he had a hard time with those steps. So, you know, and the footprints themselves, I mean, you'd see where basically where the foot would grab and the toes would grab, and then the foot would bend, and so the arch would get digging more. So if you made fake feet, it would be like a flat bottom, or you try to curve it, but it would be the same imprint in the sand every time. You know, it wouldn't basically, like, your foot, you're in on barefoot and you try to take a turn, your foot shifts in the dirt. So there's a lot of stuff. And there's a book written by this guy, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, who was on Finding Bigfoot. And it's pretty much his experiences and all his scientific analysis of Bigfoot. I mean, strictly from a scientific point. We should have read that before we did our first Bigfoot presentation, because there's a lot of stuff that supports it. And people are saying, you know, Bigfoot can do this and that and the other thing. And he's got a lot of scientific information that proves otherwise. I mean, the actual apes living in today can actually do and are doing, like tree knocking.
Yep.
You know, apes, they actually observed orangutans doing that, you know, and throwing things. Chimpanzees have been doing that for centuries. So just that kind of stuff, you know, it kind of puts everything in perspective.
Well, you still have time to read that book because
sure
you have till July.
I'm reading it, so I'm almost done with it.
You have to July 8th because aren't you and Dave doing a Bigfoot presentation at Jervis Library?
No.
Oh, it's not Bigfoot anymore?
No.
Oh.
No.
Never changed. It's it was originally supposed to be Bigfoot, but they wanted to do more of the paranormal towards the teenage
crowd. So all right, that works.
They want a Bigfoot one, but at a different time.
I was reading on Bigfoot this week, and tonight I just popped on this website, and this is the second time that I saw a reference to a Bigfoot kill dump that they believe is discovered in New Mexico somewhere. And this was on another site that I saw.
Kill dump?
So, yeah, like it where it...
Where it dumps or it's killed.
It's food, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they found piles of bones, and it was somewhere in a lower portion of a shallow cave in New Mexico, somewhere in like a slot canyon where there isn't normally people.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that it's not an indigenous territory for any animal, and the scale of things is so large, and there were so many recent sightings around there of Bigfoot, they think maybe this location is a home.
See, what I found fascinating when you were talking 2 weeks ago about the cavern of the large people that they found, the tall people,
yeah.
the giants, and then the article no longer existed the next day on
the
Smithsonian
that
website.
Yeah.
I find that interesting that we have that kind of pull, like coast to coast, that we were able to have a website shut down.
That's funny.
They took it down.
It wasn't, he asked me the next day and I couldn't find the link anywhere. I searched and searched. I found other sites that had similar content that I sent him, photos and whatnot, but that particular site was not there.
And I ask you guys, individually, do you guys believe there is a Bigfoot? Or believe that there could be the possibility of some type of creature that's out there that's basically smart enough where essentially it's been able to avoid most part being captured or being seen, but obviously as population grows and we grow into more areas, obviously we're going to start crossing paths with it, and that's what's been happening. I mean, honestly, what do you think?
I've always said that by nature of what we do, investigate paranormal, you can't discount any one particular topic, whether it's UFOs or Bigfoot or conspiracy theories. There's so much in this world that we don't know, that we will never know. To have somebody say, bullcrap, Bigfoot doesn't exist. How can you say that? Is it on my top 10 list of things that I believe? Maybe not. It's up there. But, you know, I can't say that definitively. I don't believe that it exists. Can't say that.
As historist PM Leonard, I would have to say I actually do not believe in the Bigfoot. I am open to investigating it because we do have an open mind. I just, ghosts, spirits, absolutely, UFOs, absolutely. I just can't buy into the Bigfoot. If the Bigfoot does exist, I think it does more in the realm lie with its, the correlation between UFO sightings and Bigfoot, that they're probably related somehow to the same. It'd be the only way it could explain itself disappearing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it doesn't, but then, like, we were talking about the race of 9-foot people that
right.
they found in caverns there. So, they were thought to be mythological, but apparently they're not.
Not according to the Bible. They're in the Bible.
I think it's a real possibility. I think what we have going on is a lot of hoaxers, a lot of people that are...
It ruins it for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Could Bigfoot exist? I think Bigfoot could exist in certain areas, sure. I would like to go on a Bigfoot hunt, yeah.
You just want to carry a gun.
Well, I can carry a gun. I don't need to go on a Bigfoot to do that. But, yeah, I'd like to go on a Bigfoot hunt. Just to, you know, get my own curiosity, you know.
Mount the head on your
very, very, yeah, very, very good real possibility.
A big head on the wall.
I think if Bigfoot was real, they would have found some sort of concrete evidence.
I think anything's possible.
Yeah.
I think anything's
possible.
Just because you don't find, a lot of people say, I'm sorry, I'm stepping on here a little bit, but a lot of people say, you know, you don't find remains, you don't find this, but you know what? If they're smart enough, they're doing away with their remains.
Do you find
remains of bears or what have you? You know, maybe sometimes, but not a lot.
No, but we have them in zoos, so I don't need to find bear remains to prove
well, I'm just saying, you know, it's a very good possibility that this creature is very smart. If it's very smart, maybe they know
it's
we're
not smarter
after
than us.
And, you know.
Maybe it has human intelligence.
No.
I don't think it has human intelligence, but I do believe it does have a certain amount of
and
it.
And Bigfoot would have a gun. And when some crazy guy was in the woods going, Bigfoot call, Bigfoot would shoot him like it was John F. Kennedy.
Listen, son, that sounds like a human trying to sound like us. Don't fall for that.
And, I mean, we find evidence of creatures that lived millions of years ago, but we can't find a big 8-foot-tall ape wandering through Central America. I don't buy it.
But think about the Amazon. They're still finding new species every day in the Amazon.
But they're not 8 feet tall.
They're generally fairly small.
Yeah, they are. I agree.
And if you want to tell me there's a cockroach out there that no one's found yet, I'd buy that.
But once
I will
again,
give you that guy. You can make it free. You know what? You can make
we don't know everything that there
tall.
Is.
I'd rather believe there's a 6-inch tall guy in the woods that looks like a 6-inch monkey than a 9-foot guy who stinks like the skunk ape does with glowing green eyes like that dude in the middle of Kentucky supposed to have that nobody can find.
Who wound him up tonight?
I'm sorry, Bigfoot. I'm passionate about Bigfoot.
I also am a doubter of the existence of Bigfoot. I think it's certainly possible that a great ape other than humans could be living in the Pacific Northwest. The temperatures are relatively mild for a
it's
large...
It's a rainforest, pretty common. Much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it is, it is. It's the largest rainforest in the continental U.S. There are places where the Bigfoot's existence is just not possible, yet they still see sightings like Nebraska or Kansas. There's no place to hide. There are no trees.
Yeah.
There are no, you
I've
know.
Been to Nebraska, and it's
flat.
Yep. It's, you can see 40 miles in every direction if you're up high.
Yes.
That's the government, man. It's not Bigfoot.
The skunk ape hypothesis, that just seems, that seems very far-fetched, especially because I remember and you're not affiliated with Finding Bigfoot at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
I remember watching that, and they postulated that the skunk ape smells because it trapped pockets of methane. Now, methane has no odor. The thing that gives methane odor in the tanks is actually a mercaptan, and it makes it smell like rotten eggs. Methane itself has no odor. So
yeah,
and if it was living in a cave with methane, it would suffocate. There are places where it could exist, generally hilly, forest, well-forested places. I think it's very unlikely, though. There's the Gigantopithecus hypothesis. I'm sure that's been brought up in some of the literature.
That's the one that I basically, in my wheelhouse, that's the one that makes the most sense to me without going to the whole UFO
exactly.
route and all that. I'm thinking more something more natural that's on this planet that is just a creature, you know, a great North American ape. Versus anything that's, you know, a terrestrial alien or anything.
The other, and the problem with that, though, is that chances are, I mean, we almost had wiped out the gorillas, we almost had wiped out the orangutans, we almost had wiped out the chimpanzee, and it was before the introduction of firearms. I would gather that if there were any Gigantopithecus left, something that large, that obvious,
would have been
wiped out before we even got here.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, you take a look at... You read into it and you follow things. I mean, again, like ghosts. Yeah, like ghosts. I mean, there are always the stories of it's all pretty much BS.
Yeah.
It's all hoaxes. And then you start getting people that are looked up to and respected. You know, doctors, Indian chiefs, lawyers, policemen, all that kind of stuff. Then they have experiences and then they document, you know. And then essentially you start taking a look at some of the science behind it and a nomadic type creature like that. Could possibly exist. I mean, man, we basically as human beings are full of ourselves where we think that there's no possible way anything could be walking around that we don't know about. We're that cocky, you know. But the thing is, they're still discovering species all the time. And you know, I'm not saying that it is an 8-foot hairy ape, but I'm saying that there is something there.
Could be an 8-foot hairy Canadian.
Yeah, could be.
Could be.
It could be a wild man, could be a wild man
with his shirt on.
But there's definitely something there that enough people have seen.
I will say
enough times that makes you want to look at it. Like the whole thing about paranormal. Do you believe in ghosts, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you believe in ghosts? You have proof. You have one at your house. You can bring in and show us.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you here.
Okay. Let's go back to the beginning. Do I believe in ghosts? I'm just saying. I mean,
no.
You should be a skeptic with everything. That's how you find facts, and that's how you investigate things.
About everything.
If you're like, I believe in Bigfoot, then what are you going out?
I think they do. That show actually.
There you go. You believe in it. There you go. So
disservice.
Pretty
well, especially because the one fellow that the leader, the ringleader,
Matt Moneymaker?
Yeah. Everything that he comes across, he thinks is a Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah. And everything. I'm not. I'm a Bigfoot. I'll be honest with you.
It sounded perfect. Just like that.
That was perfect.
Yeah. Much like Pete, I'm all for going to look for one because.
Well, I mean, one, it's fun. You get to go out there and
hunt
during the
day. Yeah. But I don't think. I mean, I'll be honest with you. But my whole rant about not believing in Bigfoot when I'm in the woods and it's dark, I'm still scared to wander away from my friends to pee. So.
That's the other thing is that there are no.
And I'm not scared of serial killers or kidnappers because I'm too big for them. So.
There are no nocturnal great apes. They're only diurnal. And why they decided to try to hunt Bigfoot at night, I mean, every bit of footage I've ever seen from, I even saw that documentary you were talking about earlier, every bit of footage points to it just being something that's walking around during the daytime.
There is a book that talks about how apes have adapted to their environment and changed their feeding and hunting habits.
They
observed a band of chimpanzees that became nocturnal because during the day there was too many things for them, too many dangers, too many predators. They switched their feeding and foraging activities to be nocturnal. So, I mean, any kind of species can adapt if it has to. Again, yeah.
Chimpanzees and bonobos
have
a common ancestor,
right,
and
they
are very different habitats.
But I believe essentially that there is a right environment and there's a right science that could say that something could be there. And the fact that enough people have seen something, that there's something there. I'd like to know what it is. It may not be a Bigfoot after all. Maybe something really different. But once that mystery's solved. But then again, I'm with you guys. Like, why the hell has somebody shot one?
Yep.
Why the hell hasn't somebody captured one?
Yep.
And the thing is that that's basically what I come to right now. It's like, I mean, well, ghosts. I mean, people gain what they call evidence. They capture things that people still can't say that
there's people still, yeah.
So that leads to support that there is something there, you know, possibly, you know. But again, why hasn't anyone captured
one? Now, I want to expand that thought for a second because I was reading something here while you guys were talking. And it has to do with all of it. The power of suggestion. And that's what this thing...
Mass hypnosis.
Kind of goes along with, how does the power of suggestion influence the paranormal? Or how does the paranormal influence the power of suggestion? Because we all know, we've all been there, when you go into a place that somebody says, this is a haunted house, what's the first thing that you expect?
A ghost.
Something paranormal to occur. What if they just have banging pipes and they tell you that it's a paranormal hotspot? You're still going to go in there expecting something paranormal to happen, and when you start hearing sounds, the first thing that you're going to think about is the paranormal. Same thing with Bigfoot. If you are going into an environment that somebody claimed is charged with Bigfoot activity, and you start hearing tree knocking or something like that, the power of suggestion will likely say that it's Bigfoot. So what are your thoughts on the power of suggestion regarding all of the paranormal, UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts?
It is powerful. It is. And essentially, I don't subscribe to it anymore. I did when I first started into the paranormal. But a lot of times when I go in and people say, oh, there's this thing going on, this is a haunted place, the first thing I walk away from my mind is that I don't believe any of it. I just go in and I just observe. And whatever happens, happens. How many times have we been in cases where pretty much, I mean, the tables are floating and the angels are carrying people around. We go in there. The first thing I'm not looking for is angels, and I'm not looking for tables, so I'm just looking for basically to look at some physical indicators, go off my equipment to indicate that something's not normal here.
I'm happy when the EMF detector just switches.
How many times have we been doing cases and we walk out and found absolutely nothing?
Yep.
So again, it's perceived by them, but as an investigator, you should just go in with a very clear view and basically say, okay, I'm skeptic, they believe it, so it's real to them somehow. It's not real to me. I have to see it, experience it, feel it. And, I mean, we've done cases, we've been back at several times, and still haven't found anything significant that goes around with some of the wild claims that they've come across. But a good point, going back to Bigfoot real quick, just to close that out.
Man, I love this guy.
I used to be a hunter, okay? So, thinking to myself, I'm in the woods. You know, I'm up in the Adirondack. I'm basically behind my blind. I got a rifle in my hand, or shotgun. And all of a sudden, I see something walking on two legs that's about 7 foot, say 8 foot, completely hairy, walking by me.
Will Chamberlain.
So, first thing people say, Bigfoot, shoot it, boom. I just proved Bigfoot, I'm a multi-billionaire. But I wouldn't pull the trigger. how the hell do I know that's not some guy
person,
in
exactly.
Yeah, that guy from our presentation,
yeah, some guy in a ghillie suit or some guy basically being homeless. Now I just committed murder.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Essentially, but then basically that subconsciously, you point a gun and shoot anything with walking on two legs. The first thing comes to your mind is that's
a person.
Being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be very reluctant to pull it unless it come running out of you like a big rock where it's going to smash your head and then you're going to shoot it. But that's one of the things that they can, you know, a little bit likely towards the power suggestion, that a lot of people, these hunters, haven't shot the thing because they're like, you know, what, Jesus Christ, what if it's Uncle Jimmy?
If you've Uncle ever Jimmy shot Bigfoot, 1-888-429-5477.
Even if you think it's a Bigfoot, it's still walking on two legs. You're still
going
to perceive it murdering somebody,
yeah.
You know, or something.
Well, at that point, it's going to give you pause anyway just because.
It's so different from
what
you expect.
Yeah,
yeah.
Again, I mean, personally, as a hunter, I wouldn't shot it myself either.
One of the things that on that show that bothers me too is when they'll have the Bobo go out and they'll stand in the spot that they saw 7 years ago. And is he taller than Bobo is?
Yes, but I'm talking real Bigfoot stuff.
Right,
I'm not talking the reality show. That's Tristan has a very valid point. I mean, he's on to dissecting a few things, and now that he's mentioning it, I'm starting to think, yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah,
especially because the
ratings.
What they saw years. Oh yeah, it's absolutely
ratings. TV
yeah.
and ratings.
I find the show very entertaining. I do enjoy watching
it. Oh, it is.
I know. I don't believe what they have to say, and especially the lady that says, "I look at everything with science." Well, that's not really a term that somebody.
As
a scientist,
the field biologist.
Yeah.
She actually is a very well-respected field biologist, and she's very active in the field. But my father has the best line for that. He goes, "This show," because he watched it one night, and said, "This show should be able to go on for 40, 50 years. These guys got a gold mine." I'm like, "Why do you say that?" They're finding Bigfoot. They're never going to find Bigfoot, so it's going to come out every year until these guys are dead looking for Bigfoot.
I think we just had an EVP online.
Bigfoot?
I heard an old lady on here, as you were talking. Mm.
Bigfoot.
So when I said check audio, there was something before that. So maybe it'll get active here after. Maybe we will see Bigfoot.
Since you brought Bigfoot
maybe.
Back up real quick. Have you seen the new
making,
I just noticed
the person in the kitchen is.
But the four like hillbilly looking guys. I just seen it for the first time the other day. It's four guys that look like Uncle Jesse from
Bigfoot. They're the ones that want to kill Bigfoot.
And they go out with like guns. In fact, one of them, you know how when it brings up people's names and then like parapsychologist or investigator, it actually comes up his name. And he's security. That's the job of security.
But you know, that show, though, in the end,
TV warps everything.
They're not going to have evidence. Side. They're not going to ever find it. So
if they find
him,
they lose the show.
So they have to fill it.
They probably found him. And they're like,
lots of other stuff, and that's why it ends up being hokey. You know, what are you going to fill an hour with?
Can you talk into the microphone? Could you tell us your name, please? Is this the lady that we keep seeing? Could you tell us your name?
For those of you listening in, we may be experiencing some unusual activity right now. Our monthly EVP while we're on the air.
I don't know if you felt that it came right. Last chance. Now we're going back to Bigfoot. Now apparently we were told by the owner that a pan flew across the kitchen during the week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Really?
Scared the chef to the point he didn't want to come back in there.
Huh. Well, we know that stuff happens here.
So where do sky whales fall into this, Mike? If you believe in them and how they feed on circus midgets.
Well, wait a minute. There's no belief in sky whales because they're scientific fact. do you believe in rock? You don't have to, they're there. Same thing with the sky whales. They don't feed on midgets. They gently take them into their mouth and take them to places of happiness.
And this is what got us kicked out of the Bob Evans in Dunkirk, New York. If you've ever seen a whole restaurant full of agitated people trying to catch their breath after laughing and spitting out their food. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Oh, and then I think when we got back that Monday, somebody found the picture of somebody actually firing like a shoulder-fired missile at a sky whale that was attacking him with a Gatling gun.
It's amazing. If you just Google image search sky whale, there's tons of stuff out there. In fact, there's a sky whale with six breasts.
What was that?
Why do I even try?
Anyway, I'm back.
That was really high-pitched.
Anyhow, back to more serious conversation. I mean, this guy was serious, but, I mean, he's pretty much going to save us from the apocalypse. But he knows it, so.
I thought that was Jesse Ventura.
No.
So we're not going to talk about it on the air because we don't talk about these things, but all over the conspiracy blog for our quick tinfoil topics is the Jade Helm 15 exercise. If you don't know what that is, you should look it up, especially if you live in the southern U.S.
The U.S. government is not trying to take over your state. Your state is property of the U.S. government already.
You tell that to Texas.
When you rejoined the Union, Texas, you became a state and you gave up your right to be a foreign nation.
Jade Helm 15, check it out. So, Nicole, we have... We're going to continue with Oak Island for the next 15
Oak
minutes?
Island.
Oh, I saw pictures.
Did you do
of that.
Your homework?
Yes. Yes.
Did we all look up Oak Island?
Yep.
For those of you who don't know it.
Did the motorcycle?
No, there was something
just before
that.
The motorcycle.
Huh. Sounded like a scream. Forgot what I was going to say. So, Oak Island.
Yeah, the treasure of Oak Island.
Treasure of Oak Island.
Which is real thing. Yeah.
It is.
They can't find it. They can't get deep enough in the shaft to get it. Just things that. Just keep coming out of the shaft. The further they try to work it, the more that comes out of it.
Maybe that's where Bigfoot is.
There are many theories of what is down in the money pit.
And they found stuff in there already. They found coins. Yeah.
Coins. They found one of the drills.
It's fairly close to the sea, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on a little island right in
Nova Scotia.
So basically, it's the you're getting a quicksand effect. So it's going to be you would have to probably build a retaining wall around it and then dig it out at that point.
Well, they built it to channel water in. They found two channels.
Oh, right. But if you built a concrete retaining wall down to bedrock,
I mean, we could build a Panama Canal. We should be able to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
Or the Nicaragua Canal.
Yeah, Suez Canal. I mean, we should be able to. But maybe whatever buried down there, maybe the powers that be just wanted. Somebody knows what's down there. Somebody's got to know something. Maybe they're purposely.
The door for us? Ford.
Ford.
Yeah.
Maybe they're purposely hindering events to. Okay, maybe not.
So they haven't found the treasure, even though with all
they
found bits and pieces.
They
all the modern machinery that we have today.
They haven't even gotten
a lot. It's kind of like trying to dig out a sinkhole. Effectively, it's the same thing. You're trying to dig out a sinkhole, so every time you dig down, more stuff washes into the sinkhole
from the
sides.
But it's pretty cool if you look at the maps. It tells you at what level and how many feet down certain things have already been discovered and what they postulate is there, a metal box or tin lining.
Which, by now, whatever's in there is
dead.
F and the A.
Yeah.
So basically, when you get to the bottom, there's going to be like a box and Samuel L. Jackson's going to be in. Like the movie 1408.
A shark ate me! A shark!
And a velociraptor.
And eaten by a shark!
There's just so many theories that it's hard to pinpoint one.
I'm telling you, the one with most credence is the Templars.
You think it's the Knights Templar?
I think the Templars have the only reason for something that's sophisticated.
Not the Captain Kidd? You don't think Captain
could have... Not that they couldn't, but I don't think they would have gone through that much trouble. Because then how's he get his treasure back out?
I actually think geology probably played a big part in burying anything in there. I think it was in their favor.
Geology put the wooden barriers?
Yeah, I think he... No, I think it helped them sink anything down.
But as to why there's something there.
Pirates, who knows.
Templars. Sailed there with their little ships and threw the treasure.
There's also a theory saying it's just a decoy, that it might be somewhere else, that digging and spending all this money on digging up this treasure is just going to be...
Well, see the Templars, because they continue to Massachusetts.
It's in Minnesota, then.
Where they hike off to Minnesota and live with the Indians. And buried the Holy Grail in Minnesota.
Have you seen that? Because they found Templar markers in Minnesota and stuff related to the Vikings. That's why they have the Minnesota Vikings sports team out there, which I never knew. It's because they actually found ruined stones.
A farmer was cleaning his field and he uprooted a tree and, you know, there's like roots underneath. Embedded in the roots was a stone with Viking runes carved on it, but a lot of them were also like Templar symbols and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And there's a date that correlates with like a Templar expedition that something about the, you know, the stuff they found in Massachusetts, like the Norseman, the statue, not the statue, but the carving of the guy in like full armor, stuff like that.
And it wasn't like a big party. It was like 10 Templars
or 14
a larger thing that was in Canada. Interesting stuff, the Templars.
But
you know him as Switzerland today. But,
I think they're the only ones that would have had a secret, especially at the time. Whether by nowadays you consider it something major or not, but at the time it was.
It was really only the Templars in France that suffered. The other ones kind of got folded back in to various countries, nations.
Well, that's what got the English their freedom. Not the English, the Scottish their freedom.
The Templars sailed to
They're pretty
Scotland.
Sure they were at the Battle of Bannockburn there. That was the
Bannockburn.
The same thing.
The mysterious.
I'm Italian American, Mama Zoom. But if you look at the early history of Switzerland, there were farmers with pitchforks getting their butts kicked, and then all of a sudden this large cavalry force came in and drove away the Huns, and that's when the other Perillo family made it to America and became descendants of the Great Hun.
The Great Hun.
The Great Hun.
You know him as Jerry Springer. Interesting.
But what are you? You said there's a lot of theories. What are some of the other theories? The Templars are the only one I really cared about. But what are?
There's a lot. Mary Antoinette's jewels. I don't know how that would come to
Seems
be.
Seems very complicated. Oh, here we go.
There's a list.
Pirate treasure. Shakespeare's manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
A Viking ship.
Probably not good.
For Shakespeare's manuscripts, they're gone.
Freemasonry. Knights Templar treasure.
Mike and I can say without a doubt it's not the Freemasons.
They're not as exciting as you think.
There is no secret there.
Or how about just a natural sinkhole?
Yeah, certainly. I think that's probably the most probable now that you mentioned it.
But could that be a stargate that leads to the Bermuda Triangle?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
You can't sink through it and come out in Bermuda?
No, because that's not on the opposite side of the world.
By the definition of stargate.
Well, that would put more opinion on it. Don't take a cruise with us. Just go to Nova Scotia and fall. Sink all the end up in Bermuda Islands.
It's almost like the Philadelphia project there.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
I don't feel like committing suicide by shooting myself in the back 14 times.
Jumping out of a hotel window.
It is serious stuff. I mean, as we talk about it as tinfoil topics, but there are certain things that people have talked about and then died. I mean, my favorite was we talked about this years ago on one of the early episodes of Paranormal Investigator Radio. It was about the guy who claimed to have Rhyolite 32 clearance and was involved in the Battle of Dulce Air Force Base, was the only survivor, which was a joint CIA-US Air Force alien base that was underground. And after he came forward and exposed the details of the battle, he ended up dying of some rare cancer, which is code name for "you spilled the beans, we spilled you."
Yeah.
But if you're ever looking for a good read out there, definitely, if you have an interest in aliens or UFOs, you want to read about the battle at Dulce Air Force Base.
Dulce Air Force.
D-U-L-C-H. Dulce.
D-O-L-C-E.
Is that how it's
spelled? Is that what it means, sweet?
Dulce.
Dulce in Italian.
Dulce.
Dulce.
You just keep making fun of my accent tonight. I'm going to have Ray Liotta come in and do the announcement on the next radio show, Rome Mafia, Episode 3, pow, pow.
He's going to hand out a couple 2-3 beatings.
Did we talk about this earlier, Steve? We play a little game in upstate New York. It's called Click, Click, Bang, Bang. Speaking of that, we should come up with some kind of firearm and call it the Phantom. Fire's invisible bullets.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Slayer round.
See, you bought something on eBay.
Yeah, zombie killer round.
No, that was Candy. She's saying she'd love to see a picture of all of us squished around the table
here. Actually, for my 45, I have a zombie hex.
See? You can get Ghost Slayer round. She's an ectoplasmic bullet.
We won't discuss Game of Thrones this week. We know that's paranormal, but...
Yeah.
If anybody's heartbroken and distraught, don't worry. Things will get better the next season.
Don't worry, it doesn't matter. It's not based on the books. I'm that guy.
You're that guy.
It's an atom thing.
Zombies. We haven't talked about zombies in a long time. Fantastic. Are they still Walking Dead?
I think so.
The zombie apocalypse. Got plans in place for that?
That's all part of Jade Helm 15.
I'm ready
you
for
need
it,
to
believe me.
Jade Helm. You're ready?
I'm ready for it.
You're ready?
Bring on the zombie apocalypse.
So but they're voodoo zombies. They're not actually walking dead.
Walking living.
Walking living.
So we zombie did come from voodoo, and it had nothing to do with the dead originally.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just a quick update on, like, RIP stuff. Selfish
we
promotion. We've had 3 weeks of successful paranormal eerie tours with family tours. They've all sold out. And then randomly nobody showed up last weekend. And this week is almost sold out. So that's a paranormal.
It is.
I think people are enjoying it. It's a little different. We're not going to tell you our method of madness because it seems to be working.
Yep.
We're not boring like the rest of you out there. So we have a cup of paranormal coming up this Thursday. We have July 8th. Dave and Rich will be doing the presentation at Jervis Library on the paranoia.
Something.
We have August 15th. The Godfather himself is coming back to the shops at the Finish Line in Utica's, New York.
Finally, John Saffis to Utica.
It sold out last year. It should sell out this year.
Does he believe in Bigfoot?
Can you tell us your name?
I heard that.
Did you hear that?
I heard that. That was weird.
I heard that.
That was... don't even need earphones to hear
that. Was that you?
Yeah, I said
that. Oh. Oh, you guys are great colonel. I heard that. It's a ghost. I was about to say,
power of suggestion.
There it is.
And
illustrating the
points. Yeah.
And on that note,
it,
we are being told by the wonderful people at BBS Radio, specifically Doug, our engineer, our favorite.
You rock, Doug. Time. You rock.
We blew another one.
So we'll see you in 2 weeks on Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.